Good morning. If you take your Bibles and turn to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, we stay from there today. We were glad that we had last Sunday evening, we had Brother Alan Fox, whom we support in South Africa. Brother Fox was converted by Brother Paul Williams several years ago. And as we were visiting with Brother Fox, he was talking about in South Africa where they have all the gold mines there. And he talked about how that gold is probably going to continue to go up in price. And he said that's because of the unstable monetary policies that a lot of countries have adopted of deficit spending. You know, you need something solid, you know, that you can hang on to. Well, you know, gold goes up and down. And then you think, well, really, I put my security, how about real estate? You know, it's saying, you know, I'm not making any more real estate. Real estate goes up and down as well. What is it then that we are going to invest our lives in? Despite whether things go up or down, whether the times are good or whether times are bad. The Bible talks about, in the book of Revelation in particular, that Christians were undergoing difficult times, times of trial, times of tribulation. There in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 9, John said, I, John, who's the Apostle John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation. They're experiencing hard times. And kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John was being exiled by, I believe, the Roman government, is why he's on this remote island off the southwest coast of Turkey, because of the teaching of the word of God, I believe, that the government put him there. And John was suffering with them. They were undergoing tribulation. The word there, tribulation, means a crushing pressure. Have you ever been under any stress? Any negative pressure? Tribulation, where we maybe not feel like being a Christian. John and the people of God were undergoing hard times. How do we respond in hard times or in a crisis or when I'm under stress? Because what's on the inside comes out under stress or tribulation. And what we see is the book of Revelation talks about true happiness even in hard times. In the book of Revelation, you have the seven Beatitudes in the book of Revelation, this symbolic book, that talk about the blessedness of being a Christian. There are seven Beatitudes that talk about that we are blessed if we overcome through Jesus Christ. In Revelation 12:11, talks about, and they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even unto death. The word overcome is used as a promise at the end of each of the seven churches of Asia. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. He who overcomes will partake of the tree of life. The word there, overcome, is the word Nike. Have you heard the word Nike before? Nike is a Greek word that means victory. It means to overcome. And in the book of Revelation, it means overcoming through Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants the things that must soon take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his bondservant John. And all we want to do today is just look at the broad picture, really the broad theme of the book of Revelation, of victory in Jesus. Need to remember that it is a symbolic book. We're introduced to Satan, who is a great red dragon, who calls forth this sea beast that looks like a leopard and has seven heads. That is one messed up leopard. And then out of the earth comes a land beast that speaks like a dragon. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. He's in line with the devil. And so Satan, the red dragon, uses the sea beast, which is persecuting government. We know that from Daniel 7. And the land beast is false religion. And then later on, you have a harlot that is worldliness. And all that attacks Christ's church. And Revelation is controversial in a lot of ways, but we want to just look at the broad themes. They are facing tribulation, John says. Things that must shortly take place. Revelation is not a crystal ball of end time events. Revelation is not a roadmap of world history. The historical background is something the church was dealing with at that time under the Roman Empire. And in all these difficult circumstances, can you be happy? That's a basic question. Are you happy? The word happy comes from the word chance. We act like, well, I can be happy when all my external circumstances are all lined up. Then I can be happy. Well, what about if they're not? And sometimes when people are down and they're stressed, they think God has let them down and people become discouraged. And some Christians even quit because they become discouraged. The book of Revelation is a book of encouragement, of true happiness in hard times, of blessedness. Notice the first beatitude in the book of Revelation. Blessed is he who hears and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Notice that word is blessed. The word blessed, when you read that, we all know that's a good word. Whatever that is, I want to have some of that. The word blessed is used 80 times in the New Testament. And it's the particular word makarios that has to do with being favored or being fortunate. But it's not just fickle happiness. It's used of transcendent happiness. In the original culture, it was used of the happiness of the gods, something that was transcendent, something that was above and beyond circumstance. So blessedness is being blessed by God, being highly favored by God. If I'm highly favored by God, I can make it. I can handle it. That's the only thing that really matters, that we are blessed. Who are the ones that are blessed? This is true happiness in the Word of God. He says, blessed is he who reads, singular. You read in the book of Revelation about he writes to the angel of the church. The angel of the church is the messenger of the church. He who reads. People didn't have printed Bibles like we did. They would have a letter written to them and you would have a reader. The idea is he who reads is blessed if he communicates the Word of God. That's a great privilege. To stand before you is a great privilege. To communicate the living words of the living God given to dying men. That is our only hope. Without the Word of God, we have no hope. We have no guidance. In Revelation 22, it says, the bride says, come. We all have that great privilege to share the Word of God of how it's changed our life for the better. I don't need to get uptight about that. I need to rejoice in it. Blessed is he who reads, because it saves and it sanctifies. And notice it says, blessed are those, plural, who hear the words of this prophecy. Are you listening? The book of Revelation is a book that can be understood. Explain the book of Revelation in one sentence or less. The devil and Jesus and the devil get in a fight, Jesus wins. That's the book of Revelation. The idea, if I listen to the Word of God, it's going to be okay. What we need to do is not be distracted or discouraged by all the different things that are out here in the world that take our mind off of God. If I will stop and listen to the Word of God, Jesus is going to win in the end. Then everything is going to be okay. I like, for example, in Revelation chapter 22, at the very end of the book, Revelation 22 and verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David. That's the Old Testament promise in the past. The bright morning star. The bright morning star is the last star you see just before the dawning of a new day. Jesus is the light that says we are standing on the edge of eternity. He is the promise. There is a new day coming. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Are you listening? The Word of God can quench our soul. It can give us encouragement. It can cleanse our mind. It calms our soul, and it strengthens our heart. Why should we attend all the services of the church? So we keep our spiritual batteries recharged, so we'll have a blessing. Now I want to ask you, if you have children, what would you think if your children went to public school once a week? You say, well, they're going to miss a lot. Well, let's say they went three times a week. Three, they missed two, but went three. They went a majority of the time. You'd say, well, that's not good, because they're going to miss a great deal. What about if your children only attend maybe half of the Bible classes offered by the church? Secular education is important, but spiritual education is far more important, because we are educating for eternity. So the question is, I want to be here to get this blessing. People have made preparations to make it spiritually beneficial to our souls. So we find true happiness in the Word of God. The seven Beatitudes of Revelation promises we are blessed if we overcome through Christ. Notice the second Beatitude. Now I'm going to turn, this is over in Revelation 14. Where you have Christ inspects the seven churches to get them ready for the growing conflict. And then you have a tour of heaven in chapter 4 and 5, where God is on the throne and Christ is worthy to break the scroll that is to resolve this problem that the church is facing, this tribulation. And then you see the breaking of the seven scrolls, the blowing of the seven trumpets, and the pouring out of the seven bowls that reveal the wrath of God, warn of the wrath of God, and execute the wrath of God against the enemies of the church. Jesus is going to win. But during this conflict, notice what 14:13 says. 14:13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed, spiritually happy are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Chapter 6, verse 9, you have martyrs who were slain because of the word of God, and they cried, O Lord, how long will you refrain from avenging our blood? There were Christians who were dying, and more were going to die. Is death the ultimate tragedy in the world? You know, we have loved ones, and we certainly, when our loved ones die, we certainly miss them and we're certainly sad. But if they die in the Lord, do we think they are supremely blessed, that we are happy for them? Death is not the ultimate tragedy. Dying outside of the Lord is the ultimate tragedy. You know, in Revelation chapter 2, you read about Antipas, who was killed. What would the preacher preach on the Sunday after Antipas was killed? Well, a good message is, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on, so that they may rest from their labors or toils, for their deeds follow them. You know, Christians need to have this optimistic view of death, and the idea that death is like sleep. That it's just a doorway into the presence of the Lord. And that we're all looking forward to being in a better place. I know that a Christian family one time was struggling. They had family problems. And when they got their family problems and conflict resolved, the father had cancer and died. And the teenage daughter was so shaken. Why would God take my father away from me? And she said something that the preacher said at the funeral really helped her. You know, we're going to miss our brother, but if he died in the Lord and he's blessed in the presence of unimaginable glory, who would want to bring him back? He's not going to come back to us, but we want to go to him. We need to think about, we're blessed if we die in the Lord. Are you in the Lord? The Bible says that we're baptized into Christ. That's how we get into Christ, by penitent faith. We're immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, there's a lot of people who in the religious world who are baptized or immersed, but they do it for reasons like to please a spouse or a family member, or to join a church. There are churches that say you can be saved, but you don't have to be immersed. Now, to be a member of their denomination, you have to be immersed. Well, what about if someone has been immersed, but they haven't been immersed for the scriptural reason? Well, that's not real hard to remedy, is it? Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If a person doesn't understand the reason or the purpose of baptism, they don't understand baptism. God did not only tell us what to do, He told us why to do it. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So we don't have a right to change the purpose of baptism or any other command of God. And so if a person has been baptized but not for a scriptural reason, it's very easy to remedy that, to make sure they are in the Lord. And when we're in the Lord and we die, our deeds follow us. That simply means God is going to remember everything that we've done for Him. All the physical things are going to be burned up, but the deeds of love and hospitality, of service, are all going to be remembered by God. God is keeping a record, whether anybody else knows about it or not, of what we do for Him. Our deeds will follow us, and there will be an abundant reward. So someone said, if we don't have anything worth dying for, we don't have anything worth living for. This is what our life is coming to. So true happiness is dying right with the Lord. And then the next beatitude is Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. In the pouring out of the seven bowls of wrath, which is the execution of God's wrath on the persecutors of the church, there in the Roman Empire, we read an interesting verse here in Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked, and men will not see his shame. Now, this is at the pouring out of the sixth bowl of wrath, which God's wrath is about to be completely poured out at the Battle of Armageddon. So it looks like Satan is really taking a lot of hits, that he's going down, 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 down. And what he's saying is, you need to be careful. Because what happened at the sixth bowl of wrath, Satan sent forth three unclean spirits like frogs. That's what that picture is. That when Satan is down, he's not out. And we need to be vigilant. That's what he's saying. Be vigilant. These bowls of wrath are executed on Satan's forces in the Roman Empire. And Satan the dragon counterattacks with unclean spirits. So there's true happiness in spiritual vigilance. That is, don't fall asleep. Don't let your guard down. You know, at different times in our life, there are different kinds of temptations that we have to be careful of. For example, the Bible talks about flee youthful lust. Young people may be especially tempted by physical temptation, such as immorality or giving in to peer pressure, wanting to be popular and to fit in. And then young couples, when they get married, they want to have as much as maybe their parents did. And so materialism may be a particular temptation to go in debt to have physical things. And then you get middle age. In middle age, you may become satisfied. You may become prideful. You may think, I have arrived, and become maybe too busy for God. And then as we get older, there may be resentment or pessimism or bitterness or fear, things that come into our life if we're not vigilant, that we need to be careful. Most people do not fall away from God overnight. It's over a process of time of small surrenders and wrong choices, and people are not vigilant. And what he's saying is, you need to be vigilant, you need to stay awake, and you need to keep your garments on in Christ-like character, And he's using the figure of a sentry. If he fell asleep, they would take his clothes to shame him. How shameful it is to be spiritually naked before God. J.D. Tant, when he wrote in the Gospel Advocate and the Firm Foundation about 100 years ago or so, he would conclude his articles and he would say, "Brethren, we are drifting." That's what Hebrews 2 says. We need to pay the more earnest attention lest we drift from it. And all that means is we need to always be examining ourselves, what we do and why we do it, so we do not drift away from God. You know, faith is spiritual x-ray vision, that we can see spiritual reality because we're informed by the Word of God. Well, the fourth beatitude here in Revelation 19, verse 19, "Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God." Revelation 19, you have the preview of the Battle of Armageddon, the decisive defeat of Satan's foes. And at this time of this decisive defeat at the Battle of Armageddon, you have this pronouncement of blessing. There is true happiness in preparing for the joys of heaven. Because in Revelation chapter 19, in verse 7, he says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So with Babylon's doom, the Christian's hope is, I want to make sure I'm invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now that culture is different than ours. There were couples that were betrothed or espoused as husband and wife, but they didn't live together as husband and wife. But a day came when there was going to be a wedding ceremony where they would then have a marriage feast because the husband and the wife were now going to live together as husband and wife. We are the espoused or betrothed bride of Christ. We're not with Christ as we're going to be in heaven. And there's going to be a happy day that comes when we, if the faithful that he mentions here in verse 8, that they are going to have this invitation to have this joyous celebration with the Lord forevermore, where there are no problems and there are no heartache. Joy forevermore. And what a shock it will be to some people. They're not invited. Why were they not invited? Because they did not clothe themselves in fine linen, which are the righteous acts of the saints. There's a view called once saved, always saved, that says that once you're saved, you never can be lost, regardless of what you may do. And in a book, The Challenge of the Cults, Dr. Ron Rhodes, one of his chapters is, "Maintaining holiness is not a condition of salvation." And he says, the view that we must maintain holiness or righteousness to sustain one's salvation goes against God's gospel of grace. Well, says who? That's an interpretation that God's grace means there's nothing that I am to do. Salvation is free, but it is conditional. The Bible talks about the security of the saints, but it's not unconditional. It is conditional by righteous relationship, by faith. And you look through the book of Revelation, Ephesus, for example, if they didn't repent, he was going to remove the lampstand or disfellowship them. So here is the anticipation of the joys of heaven based on the fact that I've lived a righteous life. And so what we need to do, instead of getting caught up in the immediate, I need to think about the joys of heaven. If I were to say, I'll give you $100 now, or $1 million tomorrow, which one would you take? Well, if someone wants $100 now, they want immediate gratification. And that's why we trade the joys of this life that are temporary for something that is far greater, world without end. That's why we need to think about the preparing for the joys of heaven that will surely make all the challenges of life worthwhile. So the seven Beatitudes of Revelation promises, blessed are those who overcome through Christ. Then we read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now this is a difficult passage, but we want to just pick out what I think is the important or clear point is the first resurrection in the book of Revelation is the resurrection of the martyrs. That's in chapter 11. That they did not die in vain, but the cause for which they lived was resurrected. He says you can have a part in this first resurrection. That is the victory of the martyrs. And it says we'll reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a full and complete period of time. 10 times 10 times 10. Remember, Revelation is a symbolic book. It's the reign of Christ across time, from the establishment of the church to the second coming of Christ. We are in the millennium right now. And that Daniel 2:44 says that God will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Satan is defeated at the Battle of Armageddon, and that we can reign with Jesus Christ. Julian the Apostate, who was taught the gospel when he was a young man, rejected it for the gods of the Roman pantheon, and he tried to eradicate Christianity, but on his deathbed he said, "You have conquered, O Galilean." And what we need to remember is if we're faithful to Christ, in the end, we are going to win. So don't give in to the temptation to give up or to quit or to allow Satan to seduce you from the Lord. If we're born twice, we'll die once. That is, physically and then spiritually born, we'll die only once. That is, physically. But if we're born only once, physically, we will die twice. We'll die physically and we'll die spiritually. So if we're born again and we're faithful, we're going to win. And you know, when you look at a football game and you record it, and if your team is behind halfway through, but you know the outcome, you're not going to worry. The book of Revelation gives us the outcome that we're going to win. So there's true happiness in fidelity to the cause of Christ. And then in Revelation 22, verse 7, and behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And what you have is a picture of the Battle of Armageddon, of Christ charging into victory on a white horse with his faithful, that they are going to defeat Satan and the land beast and the sea beast. And he says, you are blessed if you heed the words of the prophecy of this book. And somehow we have gone down, but we are not out. We are going to overcome. If you heed the words of the prophecy of that book, is what? Is be faithful. Be faithful. Satan can kill us. Satan can have us persecuted. Satan can cause our PowerPoint to go down. You know, there's just all kinds of things that can happen. The message of this book is, I will not quit. I will not be unfaithful. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So what I need to do in obedience to God, which is always blessed, we look at the immediate outcome. Well, if I do this, if I stand up for what is right, someone at work may not like it. Or if I talk to someone, I'm concerned about something in your life I think is a Christian shouldn't do. Well, if they get mad at me, that's going to cause problems, so I'm not going to say anything. Heed the words of the prophecy of this book. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And I need to remember that obedience is always blessed. Remember to always do the right thing. And then finally, in Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. In Revelation and in Genesis chapter 3, you have the tree of life that is lost by sin. And in the book of Revelation, you have paradise regained. You have the tree of life restored in fellowship with God. So Eden's ruin is reversed by the triumph of the gospel. Now, some Bibles have those who keep his commandments, but that's in some of the later manuscripts. The best manuscripts, like in the reflected in the English Standard, New American Standard, have washed their robes. The idea is our victory is through the grace of Jesus Christ. I realize that I'm weak and I am imperfect. And therefore, the only way that I'm going to make is I'm going to have to trust in the Lord. You know, it doesn't take much of a person to be a Christian, just all of that person there is. And anyone can trust in the Lord and admit that I'm a sinner. I am a very great sinner, but Christ is a very great Savior. And if we trust in Christ by this faithful obedience, it says we have a right to the tree of life. That is, the fullness of life in the presence of God. Several years ago, there was a preacher, there was an older preacher, and he met someone he hadn't seen in years, and this fellow said, "I thought you were dead." That's a good way to greet somebody. "I thought you were dead." Well, I'm in the land of the dying now, but I hope to go to the land of the living. We're in a world that's dying, but we hope to go to the land of the living where we will eat of the tree of life. So just don't let the trials of life distract you. Don't let the short-term temptations of Satan seduce us away from God. The seven Beatitudes of Revelation promises we're blessed if we overcome through Jesus Christ. I heard John Kilgore preach over at Oakland, over by Athens. The last line he said is, "Fireproof your soul. That's the only thing that's going to endure forever." And the Bible says that we can be plenty happy or blessed if we'll put our confidence in overcoming through Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, why don't you obey the gospel now by putting him on in baptism? Please come while we stand and sing.